Welcome to the High Hopes Phillies Minor League Rundown. I'm Jason Springer here with Jeff Cohen, following the journey of the players chasing their dreams in the Phillies farm system. Jeff, we've got 1 week under our belt, and you have just returned from a trip to baseball stadiums at every level. Tell me about it.
So are we following my journey now?
Yeah, the journey of Jeff and his son.
So we decided to go down to Atlanta. We were actually going to the Masters, and we decided, wait, we're down there. What do we do? Well, we'll stop and we'll go to...
If you're a Cohen, you go see baseball.
Exactly. So we went to see a Gwinnett Stripers game,
okay,
which is a AAA team for the Braves.
Okay, tell me what you saw. They've got a pretty good team, don't they?
They had a pitcher who is their number one prospect who was pitched a perfect game through five, and then they took him out.
Okay.
So if we're going to win a World Series with the Phillies, we probably should do it soon because they have a whole boatload of talent down there.
All right, well, we'll talk about our talent soon. Tell me about the rest of your travels.
The Braves stink. They did win the game, but it's a nice stadium.
They don't stink totally. They're 7-1 since playing in Philly.
Yeah, well, the stadium is nice, but it's not Citizens Bank Park.
Well, no,
even
stadium,
though it's
Citizens
relatively
Bank
new.
Park.
But it goes to, we are trying to see every major league park by the time he goes to college. So,
how's that going?
21 stadiums down.
Okay.
So we're almost there.
We got that.
And then we were at the University of Georgia after the Masters, so we decided to take on a college baseball game with the number two team in the country, and they destroyed the number 17 team in the country, 12-2, which led me to turn to the guy next to me at one point and go, hey, by the way, is there a mercy rule in college?
You guys really are a baseball family. You cracked me up. I'm glad that you guys had fun, and I always enjoy that you and Alex have that experience together. We talk about baseball and sports and what families have together, and I think it's cool that that's your thing.
It was very nice, but you know what? Maybe the biggest thrill
was on your way back.
On the way back, we're just standing there in security, and behind my son, I kind of look at a guy, and I'm like, wait a second. And I said to my son, hey, I think he's on The Walking Dead. And lo and behold, it turns out it's Jerry from The Walking Dead. For people who know the show, he's
one
of the main characters.
So that was the most exciting thing that's happened to you in the last couple months of your life?
No, but it was kind of a funny thing.
Well, I'm glad that you could enjoy your trip. I'm glad you made it back for us to talk on the show today. We're going to head out to Reading later this weekend.
Well, so that's the exciting
thing. That is the exciting
thing. I'm excited
thing.
To be back and be getting to a little warmer weather up here,
uh-huh,
and ball games. So
it is definitely nicer out. We're going to start hitting some ball games. We later in the show will have an interview with Jojo Romero that we got last week when we were up at Lehigh Valley just before the season started. Jeff, tell me what happened. There is 1 week down. Where do you want to start?
Why don't we start at Reading, since we have Jojo to talk about? So,
well, yeah.
He was there last year.
Mm-hmm.
So Reading is without him, but seems to be stacked with pitching again this year. The hitting was supposed to be the strong suit. So far, and it's early, it's not necessarily the case. Haseley's batting a cool 0.95.
Haseley's struggling to
start.
Yeah,
and in fact, last night, Wednesday night, they decided to sit him for the game. So maybe that'll get his head clear, and I have no thoughts that he's not going to succeed in Double A. He already did last year. So
yeah, he's gonna be a good player.
He'll be fine. Randolph, on the other hand, is again batting 230, 235 as of the time that we're going on the air, and he does have one home run. It was a 10th inning home run that won the game, but other than that, he really hasn't done much. Moniak has shown increased power. We got to see Moniak up close last week during the 2-2-2 showcase. Moniak is visibly stronger.
Yeah, he's definitely bigger, his frame.
Yeah, and so he has started off with a home run and three doubles. He has cooled off a little bit in the last two games.
Well, everybody cooled off because they were snowed out Tuesday night. So.
Yeah.
For a shout out to Greg Caserta, who was doing his pre-show in the snow, videotaping it, saying, you'll have to follow me to see if we're going on the air.
And Greg, where was the snow angel? I kept waiting.
That's right.
You got to go out to the mound and do a snow angel.
You better be listening on this lead into the show. We expect answers, Greg. So tell me more, Jeff. How's the Reading pitching going? We were concerned about what they'd have there. Pretty strong.
I think they've done great the last week, and that's kind of been the thing that's kept them as well as they've been doing. The key to it, and the ace is going to be, in my mind, is going to be David Parkinson. And he did not disappoint. In his first Double A start this year, he had five innings pitch, one run, 10 strikeouts, and got the win.
If you want to catch our interview with him from spring training, you can check it out on our website, highhopesphillies.com. Great time sitting down with him. Tell me more, Jeff. What else is going on with some of the arms in Reading? You want to move to Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley is off to a 4-2 start now.
I think that they have rebounded nicely. I think that they are going to do well. I've told you I think that the rotation is going to be their strength. I have a feeling that one of those six guys is going to make his way to the major leagues very, very soon, though.
Which one?
That's a tough one.
That becomes the question.
I don't...
Not JoJo.
It will not be JoJo, just because...
JoJo struggled in his first outing, but, you know, got it together, but had a rough first inning. But then
yeah, but
really
that's not the reason.
Down.
I think it's just because they have four guys on that staff who pitched last year at the major league level.
See, I want to see Cole Irvin get his shot.
We all do. I mean, come on. I think it would be great. Cole pitched last night, so if they brought somebody up right away, it wouldn't be him.
That was the Tuesday night game that he pitched in?
No, the Wednesday night game.
No, the Wednesday night game.
Today is?
Wednesday. Today's Thursday. My days are all backwards. I don't know my days of the week. My two-year-old son teaches me them.
I will be quizzing you again during our Friday show, Art of Sports, to see what day you think it is then.
I may have that day wrong, too.
I think that the guy that is going to come up, that they want to come up right away, is Jared Eichhoff, if he's healthy. He was planning to come up, or the Phillies were planning to have him come up when they got rained out and might have... Well, they thought they were going to be rained out, and then they were going to have a doubleheader. He was prepared to come up at that point. So they already have him first in line, it looks like, for the if Nick Pivetta does not do well again.
Nick Pivetta struggled in last night's Phillies game, gave up 6 runs and did not make it, I don't believe, to pass the third inning. May have been out in the second, so that was a tough start for him.
I don't know about you. I like Pivetta. Again, I think he, like Velasquez, is going to end up as a bullpen arm. I don't think that he has the consistency. I know that people were really high on him based on a couple spring training starts this year, but I think even one writer had him listed as the possible Cy Young guy. I don't see it.
Ranger Suarez went 5 innings in his first outing, giving up no runs, 91 pitches, 53 of them strikes, facing 20 batters. So, I mean, is he a guy that you would see go up?
The problem is Ranger does not have the velocity for the major leagues. And I just
can
don't...
Can you have so many of those guys that pitch with finesse but not velocity?
Well, that's the problem. Now, I've always barked that I think we need to have a lefty or two in the rotation, which he fulfills that quota, but I don't think that he's the answer. And if you're going to bring up a lefty, Cole Irvin's the lefty that you should be bringing up.
Jeff, tell me what's going on with Alec Bohm at Lakewood. He's off to a good start.
He's off to an okay start.
You're such a critic.
Look, he's batting around .275, okay, which is good early in the season. Lakewood got off to a slow start. They lost their first 3 and then won their next 3. He has not shown the power yet. So even though he's batting in the .270s, he has 0 home runs and he has 1 RBI.
Do you think that's an adjustment to the higher level ball?
I don't know, because he didn't do that well at Williamsport in his short time there before he got injured. So I'm hoping that the increased time that he put in at Clearwater in the spring training time period is going to help him. He got there very early. Everybody reported that he was in early, getting stronger, doing what he needed to do. But again, it's early and it's cold. I mean, these guys are not used to playing in this kind of cold. As it warms up, we'll see how Alec does, but you can't judge a guy based on a week of baseball.
Anything else in the first week stand out to you other than the winner of our final fur contest?
Matt Fearling. I mean, last year we saw him jump from Williamsport to Lakewood and just excel, and now he is at High A in Clearwater, and he hasn't skipped a beat. I mean, all this guy does is hit. He's not a power hitter, but he has a beautiful
swing. But he's a hitter.
Yes. He's the old-fashioned center fielder. He feels really well, and he can hit. I mean, he will hit for average, and I think even if he gets to the majors, he's going to be hitting .300.
Well, that'll definitely be something to watch, and we'll look forward to talking to him and a bunch of the other players coming up in coming weeks. This week, we've got our interview that we conducted last week with JoJo Romero. You want to get to that, Jeff?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
So we're here in Coca-Cola Park with Jojo Romero, who plans on spending a decent amount of time here this year. Jojo, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what's it like to be here in Coca-Cola Park in what is not 80-degree weather right now?
Yeah, you miss that Florida weather a little bit, but it's nice to be here. Great park, great clubhouse, and great team that we have here.
Are you looking forward to pitching with this group of guys?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, top to bottom, it's a great rotation. Bullpen is unbelievable as well, and I'm just looking to learning from every one of these guys.
You're here with a six-man rotation this season to start the season, with probably the best rotation in AAA. What's it like to be part of that rotation, and how do you see a six-man rotation helping you out?
Yeah, I mean, one, it's an honor to be part of a rotation like this. I feel last year, we had a really good rotation as well. The year before that, Lakewood Clearwater type deal rotation, our Lakewood rotation, I think we had up to an eight-man rotation at one point, filled with Sixto, Sanchez within that, Medina, Suarez. So
right.
I kind of got that feel of pitching in a bigger rotation. But, it's helpful. You get that extra day of rest when you need it. And usually that comes, around middle of the season time. But, you get the extra rest day, get the extra time to just relax and, learn from every one of these guys.
I was gonna say, what's it like to have all that talent and knowledge around you that you guys get to not only push each other every day, but kind of bounce ideas off each other and learn from each other what works and what flies?
Yeah, no, in the right mindset of staying the mindset of never stop learning. I mean, you can utilize so much from these guys. Just the way they carry themselves, the way they prepare themselves before going out to a practice, before they throw, and just different things they look for in the game, like when they're watching a game, or maybe when they're watching film or something. But it's a real big opportunity to learn from these guys. And they've been around, they pitched for a long time, and pitch at the highest level. And it's a great chance to learn.
What's it like for you this spring to go through spring training, a little more experience in the system now? You kind of know what you're going into. A little bit different this year for you there?
Yeah, I would say a little bit different. Last year I came up to pitch an inning as a backup in one of the games, and coming out of the bullpen, I was really nervous coming out, and I didn't really throw a lot of strikes that game. But I did a lot of things to prepare myself in the off season coming into the spring training, and my first outing of the year, I got to start against the Tigers and just went on the mound. A lot of confidence, and just didn't feel that nerves at all. So it was a really good opportunity to be able to pitch with that level of comfort and being able to learn from these guys, and pitching alongside Arrieta, Pivetta, Nola, and all those guys. So it was awesome.
So when you pitched against the Tigers or pitched against any of the other teams you pitched against in spring training, who was the guy, if anybody, that you went, wow, I can't believe I'm pitching against this guy?
Miggy. I pitched against the Tigers twice, and the first time was at the Clearwater Stadium, and he was in that lineup, and obviously he's probably not going to travel to that game. But I know after I pitched against him, my brother texted me. He's like, man, I wish Miggy was in that lineup. And they had JD in that lineup, so that was kind of like this guy.
You do against him?
Fly out on the second or third pitch or whatever it was. But the second time we went down to Lakeland, he was in the lineup and faced him with two runners on, and first three pitches, got behind him and ended up coming back and struck him out looking. And after that happened, I was like, whoa, that just happened. And right after the game, I got text from the family saying, oh my god, I can't believe he struck out Miggy. But that was probably the highlight of pitching against him. I grew up watching him, and great hitter, just demolishes pitchers. And
what did Coach Romero say to you?
Sit down, Miggy, and something like that. But they're all excited just to see me pitching in those type of games against big league hitters that they grew up watching with me as well. So it was just an awesome opportunity.
Last year we talked to you and we talked to pitching coach Steve Schrenk about your use of the many pitches that you have in your repertoire. Have you talked to him at all in the off season or at the beginning of this year about which ones you feel most comfortable throwing?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I'll throw every single pitch for the most part. And mainly it's just a variation of the way I throw one certain pitch. So it's a way I throw a certain fastball in a certain count, or the way I throw a changeup in a certain count, or to a specific hitter, or whatever the case may be. But I think last year to start the year, I kind of got away from that, from just attacking the hitter and just trying to play too much with it. And that led to the second half, just, you know, attacking hitters from the beginning. And with the same type of repertoire, just attacking hitters was the main mindset.
Well, we asked some of the people that follow our show if they had questions for you, what would one of them be? And somebody mentioned a screwball. Is that a new pitch for you?
I know sometimes there's a way I throw one pitch that can make it, you know, move all crazy. And I never stop messing with pitches, whether it be messing with the grip for one pitch, just seeing how much it can move, how much it could drop, or whatever it might be. But there might be some surprises this year.
So how many pitches are you throwing now?
I mean, all I know is sometimes when I'm on the mound, our catchers joke around that they might have to take their glove off just to call a couple signs. But
what's it like? You got to move up this year with Steve Schrenk. He's now the pitching coach here in Lehigh Valley. How's that in terms of the consistency for you, in terms of being able to continue what you were working on with him last year?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. You know, when I was struggling that first month last year, we really, you know, got pretty close, and he was trying to, you know, help me, and that I think that kind of, you know, helped our relationship grow. And, you know, getting the chance to, you know, pitch for him here, it's awesome. I mean, he knows me really well and knows my type of routine and what I the type of pitcher I am on the mound. So, you know, he holds me accountable when I need to be, and it's just a great relationship we have. So it's awesome to pitch for him here.
It's only game 0.1 because this is the 2-2-2 showcase between you and Redding. But one of the things that we've already noticed from talking to people around here is that you guys seem already very close. That the pitchers are all going out together for dinner and stuff around the Lehigh Valley. What does that mean for the beginning of a season to have guys that you feel so close to and that you get along with right away?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Like you said, we're all really close, and you know, that starts not even in spring training, but I mean, sometimes in the off season, you know, a lot of us are Arizona, California guys, so it makes it easier for us to, you know, meet up to go out for food or just hang out, or some of us are even with the same agency, so it's we get the relationship growing, you know, all year long. And so when we go into spring training, you know, we're doing everything together, especially pitchers are pretty much on the same schedule, so mm-hmm. we get a better chance to hang out with each other off the field. And you know, we take that into the field, to where we, you know, a lot of stuff that we do, whether it be playing video games or watching something on TV or movie or something.
All right, so that was the next question. So are you a gamer?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so what's your preferred game in the locker room?
I'm a big, like, Call of Duty type of guy, yeah. But I also love my sports games. Every time a new sports game comes out, whether it be 2K, FIFA, baseball, I mean, I'm all over those.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, last year, I believe Cole Irvin boasted, that he hadn't lost to anybody. Has he lost yet?
In what game?
In any of these games.
I haven't seen him play any of these games yet.
No?
But I know as the season goes on, there's going to be a lot of friendly competition. We already talked about running some show games together, so I know we're stacking our lineups, so that's going to be a good one to watch.
He's definitely excited about the gaming. We actually asked him about the e-gaming that they're going to build down in South Philly by Xfinity Live there. Okay. He seems like he's ready to get in and put a shovel in the ground.
I can imagine, yeah.
How exciting is it for you for opening day? You know, we ask players what it's like. You know, obviously fans get excited for it. This is not your first time through the rodeo. Are you still as excited as you were the first time that you got to go out there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a certain set of nerves and energy that comes with opening day. Whether that be, I mean, the fans, you know, just all the above. There's just a certain type of energy that you don't get in spring training, for say, like, I mean, when you're playing down there, you know, you're still kind of getting through that rust, breaking through that, trying to figure out, okay, if this is going to work, what's not going to work. But opening day, just that certain energy that the crowd brings, that the fans bring, and you know that, you know, you're competing for real, and you're trying to get to the big leagues. So just a different feel.
One of the fans asked, do you collect your own baseball cards?
I would say yes, just because family. Uh-huh. My family, every time I get some, or every time it gets, they see one out there, they always ask, you know, if I have any available. So I would say I have a good amount of them to store up away at home. But you know, that goes back to being a little kid. I still have my own little big old binder full of baseball cards I collect. My brother has a bunch, and he's actually on the good end of that, because now every time I run into one of these guys, whether it be Kingery, same agency, or all these young guys, he'll take a baseball and a card, and every chance he gets to meet them, he has them autographed and hangs them up. So it's pretty awesome.
If there's one guy whose autograph you could get, who would it be?
that's a tough one. I would say Aaron Judge, but I've had the pleasure of he's same agency, so I've had the pleasure of getting a card and you know picture signed, and as well as my brother. But
so, what's the one that you haven't gotten that you really really want?
I have to say Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Trout. That'd be pretty awesome.
So over the next couple days, you're gonna have to wait your turn to get your first start. How do you deal with those nerves and getting yourself mentally prepared, not going out there and just over pitching?
Yeah, I mean it goes back to self preparation, whether that be in the video room, you know, watching these different hitters I'm gonna be able to face, or you know, sitting in the game. You can learn a lot from sitting in the dugout, just the way by the person swings the bat, the way they adjust an account. So just by doing all that to keep my mind off, you know, when I'm actually going to pitch is going to be helpful. And as it's been, you know, the last couple of years that I've done that.
We talk a lot about baseball with patience. Last year, you had to go through that a little bit yourself, not pitching most of the second half of the season. What was that experience like for you? What did you learn from it? And what do you take into this year from it?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. You know, it felt like right as I was getting on a roll, you know, that I unfortunately got injured. But, you know, being down in Clearwater rehabbing, you know, it was tough seeing the, you know, my team out there. And, you know, I wanted to be up there, you know, doing whatever I could to help them, to help win some games. But I learned a lot just by, like you said, the patience part of it. Whether that be, you know, the little self victories in rehab, trying to, you know, get three sets of something instead of two, or just trying to keep my mind focused on those little victories and you know, doing whatever I could to, you know, support my team from afar. Whether that be, you know, following in a game and texting them, like, hey, you know, good outing, or you know, see you're heating up at the plate. Just those little things, but those small victories that I held within rehab really helped out.
Do you ever get it to a point where you just get really down and just wonder why you're doing it?
Not really, because I mean, at the same time, you know, you have a strong support system behind me. You know, all my family, and you know, they always reassure me. You know, just keep pushing through it, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's why I do it. It's for my family and to be an example for my younger brother, who hopefully in June is going to be getting a call and going through that experience as well. You know, if not, he's a couple years away, but just leading by example for my family, and you know, that kind of keeps me going.
What's it been like to go through that experience with your little brother? You obviously went through it yourself, and what's it like now to go through it on the other side with him?
Yeah, it's awesome. So you know, every opportunity I get to, you know, learn something new or new resource or new recovery gear or whatever, you know, I make sure I get it and keep it at home, and I write up his own little programs for him that he needs to be doing. And you know, every just everybody I run into, I make sure he tries to, you know who they are, and reach out to them every once in a while, just get little tips here and there. But you know, every resource that I've had, you know, coming through, I would say probably my first year of college till now, I make sure he has the opportunity to as a high schooler, and you know, hopefully that makes him gets him a couple steps ahead of me when I was at that position.
There's obviously a lot of excitement up and down the organization with what's going on at the big league level. Last weekend, season opener for the Phillies, great first series. Does that trickle down for you guys? Do you watch that, get a little more excited about what you're doing and what's going on here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I remember telling my dad in spring training, I got my, I believe it was my first outing, you know, I had Segura behind me, Cesar Hernandez, I believe Hoskins was at first, JT was catching me, and I had a really good outing, and, you know, just seeing, you know, the plays they made behind me, I told him, I was like, man, you know, this is awesome, this is a dream right here to have a team like that. And that's it. You know, Harper wasn't there yet, and Aldubo was in the lineup, so there's, you know, seeing what they did opening day, you know, kind of it motivates, you know, not just me, but you know, everyone around me, whether it be AAA, AA, High A, that you know, we're all, you know, competing to get up to that top and again to try to crack our way into that lineup or that rotation.
We know how the fans reacted to Bryce Harper being signed. How did you guys react?
I mean, it was awesome. You get a chance to get one of the best players in baseball. You know, that's always a plus. And, you know, seeing what he can add to a lineup and what he's done to a lineup already, you know, you see the positive impact he's had. And not just when he's hitting, but you saw in that spring training game when they intentionally walked him, got to Hoskins, and, you know, grand slam. So it's not just what he offers to a game, but, you know, the domino effect that he has on a lineup and the way he impacts a game, you know, without even having to, you know, put a ball in play.
Well, JoJo, we really appreciate the time, and we look forward to following you here and at your next step.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was a great interview with JoJo. And you know, it always makes me, I'm always interested by the guys that talk about their younger and older siblings, because there's so many people in sports that have siblings that play the same sport. And JoJo's now got a younger brother who is about to go through the same process that he went through. And you could see the look of pride on his face. And it'll be interesting to follow not only JoJo as he moves up, but also his brother.
And yesterday was National Siblings Day, so good on him for supporting his brother. Jeff, tell me what else is going on in Clearwater, and then I want to know who won the Final Four.
Well, we were remiss in not mentioning the Threshers, and we did mention Matt Fearling, but the one thing we didn't mention is Spencer Howard. And Spencer Howard, although he struggled a little bit in his first game, he was our number one prospect for pitching last year, and he did not disappoint last night. He got back to being Spencer Howard. He pitched six no-run innings, gave up three hits, had five strikeouts, and lowered his ERA to a normal Spencer Howard ERA.
So who's the top pitcher in the system right now?
Spencer Howard.
He's still...
There is no question in my mind that the guy, if you were going to say, who's the untouchable, and I know people cringe about the word untouchable, but if you're asking me who's the one guy that you would least want to give up in any kind of trade, it's Spencer Howard, and that included when they had 6-0 Sanchez.
So we don't have a long time to talk about this, but with the struggles that the Phillies bullpen has had, who's an arm in the bullpen in the minors that could come up?
Well, you're gonna look at me when I say this, but I don't think they need an arm in the bullpen from the minors.
I think they need to put Velasquez
into the bullpen and bring somebody up.
I'm sorry I asked. Tell me about the Final Four, Jeff.
So we do have a winner, and the Cinderella story continued, and it's
the glass
Boomer.
Slipper fit.
That's right. It's a big furry glass slipper, but it's Boomer from the Williamsport Crosscutters, and congratulations to that entire community, and we look forward to handing them their Final Four trophy.
People got into voting, Jeff.
Especially those Boomer fans.
Yeah, that was, and so we put to rest the hot dog debate about whether hot dog vendor.
You mean the crazy hot dog vendor.
Whether
debate,
the crazy
yes.
hot dog vendor is a mascot.
We could do that one time, too. Best hot dogs, best concessions of all the Phillies minor league teams. There's so much to talk about when it comes to the minor leagues.
Jeff, I'm going
to
let you compile the list. Any final thoughts?
Well, food should be your thing.
Food should be my thing. Is that a hint?
No, you're just become more of a connoisseur.
All right. I'm the food connoisseur, apparently, on the show. We'll leave it there, and we'll be back next week with some more interviews. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll be back as the lead-in every Thursday night to the Reading Phillies here on 610 ESPN. We'll be back then. Enjoy the ball game.